Father God, thank you for this Sunday morning. Thank you for the privilege to gather. And while we know many are away, we are here and we're in your presence and we've already been worshiping. We want to continue to do that through your word. So speak by your Holy Spirit the words that you have for us this morning. May we come away encouraged from being in your presence and in your word. Amen. When I was growing up in Fort St. John, there was a man in our church who had a huge impact on my life as a young, maybe 10 to 13-year-old that era. He was a German immigrant with a grade 8 education and a very thick accent. He was also an incredible auto mechanic, and he could fix anything. Rolf was his name, took a genuine interest in me and three or four of my friends. And he would take us camping, snowmobiling, or just have us over to his house to tinker around in the garage and build things. We just loved to hang out with Rolf because he loved us, and not so much by his words, but with his actions. And I believe I am in part who I am today because of Rolf's influence on me. And years later, when I was teaching at the college, just about 3 hours away from Fort St. John, I found Rolf's phone number, and I called him, and I thanked him for the impact and influence he had in my life many years earlier. It was a tearful conversation, but it was so good, and I'm very thankful that I had that opportunity. So as we continue to make our way through the book of Philippians today, we come to the final verses of chapter 2, which will bring us to the halfway point in this book. And Pastor Norm has been doing a masterful job of highlighting one of the key themes in Paul's short letter. And that theme is? It's kind of up there, isn't it? The mind of Christ. And then we filled in the phrase after that. And last week we looked at the mind of Christ in the midst of mess. And today we're going to continue exploring this theme, particularly what it looks like when it comes to being a faithful servant. What does it look like to have the mind of Christ in terms of a faithful servant, like Rolf was to me and my friends? And specifically, we're going to look at two faithful servants of the gospel whom Paul has very high regard for. The first up is Timothy. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I, myself, will come soon. Well, who was Timothy? If you look it up, his name means one who honors God. Pretty good name. We named our son Timothy. He grew up in Lystra, and we know that his mother was Eunice, and his grandmother was Lois. Yeah, we read that in 2 Timothy 2. They were Jewish, but Timothy's father was a Greek, which means somewhere along the way, Timothy became a believer, and possibly, scholars think, on Paul's first missionary journey. At any regard, he was well spoken of by the believers in Philippi, and Paul must have seen something very attractive in this young man about his character, because he invited Timothy to join him on his second missionary journey. And it didn't take long for Timothy to become one of Paul's right-hand disciples. Listen to how Paul describes him in several other letters to other churches. My true child in the faith, my beloved son, my fellow worker, our brother, God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. And there's others. That's pretty high praise from someone who knew what he was talking about. Timothy traveled with Paul to several cities and is also mentioned at the beginning of five of Paul's letters. Now, we know very little about his later life, but tradition says that he succeeded the Apostle John as Bishop of Ephesus and was ultimately beaten to death at the age of 80. Are you getting the picture that Timothy was a committed and dedicated servant of Paul and Jesus Christ? Well, much, and I mean much, has been written about Timothy. But in these few verses, there are three characteristics that describe him. And I want us to see what we can learn from these characteristics this morning. First is his genuine concern for others. Verse 20 says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Timothy is trustworthy. He is reliable. He is also others-focused, apparently a rare quality in that church. He demonstrates the mind of Christ by showing genuine interest and concern for others. Now, if this sounds familiar, it should, because a couple Sundays ago, we were earlier in chapter 2, where Paul says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So I think it's fair to say a mark of a true disciple of Jesus requires thinking of the interests of others ahead of their own, rather than living out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. This is called humility. To put others ahead of yourself means to serve with the mind of Christ. Someone once said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You've probably heard that before. Or to put it another way, thinking more of others and less about yourself. When I started in my youth ministry days, back in the 80s, the first visit I made, the very first day on the job, was to a young man who was going into grade 7 named Anthony. He had just come home from the hospital after having back surgery. And over the next few years, Anthony became like a Timothy to me. If I needed a second set of hands or eyes, Anthony was my guy. If I had forgotten something, Anthony was quick to run and get it and bring it to me. And it became a joke that if someone was looking for Daryl, all they had to do was look for Anthony because he was never far from me. In fact, some of the youth would tease him by singing a line from the old nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, but they would change it to, everywhere that Daryl went, Anthony was sure to go. That was okay. I loved Anthony, and he loved me, and he loved serving. And if there ever was a young person who demonstrated the concept of looking out for the interests of others, it was Anthony. What do people say about you? Are you primarily looking out for your own interests? Or are you a Rolf or an Anthony, giving freely and generously of your time and resources for the benefit of others? Yes, this involves sacrifice, and at times it may even get messy. But if we have the mind of Christ, we will lay aside these things and instead be genuinely concerned for the well-being of someone else and serve them in love. The second quality that we see in our passage is that Timothy had the interests of Christ. Verse 21 says, "For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." What an amazing testimony to his character. Timothy was a Christ-centered disciple, and this made him stand out amongst the other believers. His desire was to focus and to please his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing else mattered to him. And we get the impression that this desire consumed him, and it was probably a quality he had learned from Paul, who was also consumed with a passion to do everything to the glory of God. So what are the interests of Christ? Well, we've already seen earlier in chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. But there is more Jesus made it clear right from the beginning of his ministry that he had come to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. He made his ministry about helping the poor, the marginalized, the broken, making a way for them to come into a restored relationship with the Father through the forgiveness of sins. But another primary interest of Christ was to do the will of the Father. In John 5, verse 30, we have Jesus' clear statement, "I can do nothing on my own, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Everything Jesus did on this earth was to the glory of his heavenly Father. He did it in perfect union. He was obedient in all things, even to the point of death on a cross. That is why near the end of his life, he could pray these words, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." The interests of Jesus were to be a servant, to save the lost, and to glorify the Father by doing his will. Just as Jesus was consumed with the interests of his Father, we should be consumed with the interests of Jesus. Timothy was consumed with the interests of Jesus. He understood what it meant to give his all. He could truly pray as Jesus taught, "Your will be done." So let me ask, what are your interests this morning? What are your greatest pursuits in life? Are you seeking your own interests or the interests of Jesus Christ? How might you make his will and his kingdom known where you live, work, learn, and play? The third quality was his partnership in the gospel, as verse 22 says, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." A few weeks ago, Norm talked about the mind of Christ in partnership. A true disciple of Jesus works together with Christ and his Spirit to accomplish his work of sharing the good news of salvation with others. Do you see how this is tied in to the concept of seeking the interests of others? Now, the wording in this verse is intimate and personal. Paul saw Timothy like a son. Timothy saw Paul like a father. They were close. They spent a lot of time together. In fact, some scholars estimate that Paul traveled over 10,000 miles in his lifetime, and Timothy would have been with Paul for many of those miles. And all that time, Paul says, he proved himself. The Greek word for proved here speaks of being tested by time and coming out faithful and dependable. Timothy was no ordinary man. He had passed the true tests of loyalty, and as a result, Paul had complete confidence in him. In short, Paul is assuring the church that Timothy is the real deal, a tried, tested, and entirely trustworthy partner in the faith. Could that be said of you and me this morning? Have we stood the tests of time and been proven worthy? Does our character speak for itself? So let me ask, who are the Timothys in your life? Or the Timothyettes? Do you have a Rolf or Anthony like I did? How have they impacted or served you? And when is the last time you thanked them or let them know the influence they had on your life? I want us to take a minute right now to think about someone you would like to recognize. Why not send them a text even right now? I'll give you permission to pull out your phone and, yes, text in church if someone comes to mind. Or write them an email, send them a card, or what about an old-fashioned letter? You could mail that this week. As a screen comes up here, a slide and some music, just take a moment to think. Who would you like to say thanks to this week? Will you do it? Our second faithful servant, whom Paul mentions in our passage, is Epaphroditus. Can you say that with me? Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Yeah, say that four times. We know very little about Epaphroditus. In fact, he's only mentioned here in the verses that I'm about to read, and then a couple chapters later in 4 verse 18. Listen to what Paul says about Epaphroditus, starting in verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give to me. Well, believe it or not, the name Epaphroditus was a common Greek name back in the day. And it's a name that came from the god Aphrodite, the goddess of love. And it's translated as belonging or devoted to Aphrodite, and means charming, beloved, or lovely. Why is this significant? Because it tells us that somewhere along the way, Epaphroditus had been raised in a pagan home and found God. God got a hold of his life and transformed him from belonging to Aphrodite to belonging to Jesus. I would love to hear Epaphroditus' testimony, wouldn't you? It'd be fascinating. Well, we can learn a lot about Epaphroditus' character from Paul's brief description. Listen again to what he writes in verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. This is an impressive list. How would you like to have this written on your resume or maybe on your tombstone someday? These are true characteristics of a servant with the mind of Christ. But I want to suggest to you that as impressive as this list is, they don't indicate that Epaphroditus was anything more than an ordinary person in the church. He does not have an official title like deacon, apostle, evangelist, or shepherd, but what he has is significant. Look at these five descriptors briefly with me. First of all, brother. This is a spiritual term, meaning they both belong to the family of God. For example, when I text my friend, say, hi, how are you doing, brother? I don't mean that he's my literal flesh and blood brother. I am referring to our common connection in Christ. And we are here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ. Beautiful. What a comforting thought. Then he calls him fellow worker. This implies a camaraderie, a sharing, a partnership, as we've already talked about. Paul sees him as an equal in the work of everyday ministry. And maybe Epaphroditus assisted Paul in some of his writings. Maybe he brought Paul food in prison. Maybe he ran errands. In order for a church to function, it needs fellow workers, like Anthony was for me. If Paul was writing about you, would he call you a fellow worker? Then he also uses the phrase fellow soldier. Now, this does not mean that Paul and Epaphroditus served together in the army. It is most likely a reference to fighting the spiritual battle against the forces of evil, against the false teachers and others who were attacking the church. This battle was real, and Epaphroditus took his stand alongside Paul and put on the armor of God in order to combat the attacks. Then there's messenger. This word in Greek has several meanings, but Paul most likely is using it here to refer to a delegate, someone who was sent and carried a message for another person or group. We learn later in Philippians that, in fact, Epaphroditus did carry a monetary gift to Paul from the Philippian believers in chapter 4. I am amply supplied, Paul writes, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And a side note worth mentioning here is that it would have taken Epaphroditus about 7 weeks to deliver this gift, which speaks again of his love and commitment to Paul. Finally, we have the word minister. What is a minister? We think immediately of a pastor or preacher, but the word here implies someone engaged in personal service, like an aide or an assistant. After he delivered the gift, Epaphroditus stayed with Paul and helped him in any way that he could. He was a true servant with the mind of Christ. Now, there's one more important quality which we need to know about Epaphroditus, and that is his dedication and willingness to sacrifice everything for Paul and the work of Christ. There are a lot of details missing from this story, but from what we read, it's apparent that Epaphroditus got sick, very sick, while serving Paul. Fortunately, he is now recovered, and Paul feels it necessary to send him back to Philippi, possibly to finish his recovery, or maybe Epaphroditus was homesick. Whatever the reason, Paul writes this to the church in verse 30. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourself could not give. In some ways, this quality speaks louder than all the rest, because it speaks of total surrender and commitment to the cause of the gospel and to the dedication he had to serving Paul. Clearly, Epaphroditus had grasped the concept of looking out for the interests of others ahead of his own, just like Timothy. We could say he had the mind of Christ in this regard. Paul is so grateful for this man's life and ministry, he tells the Philippian believers to welcome him with great joy and honor him. The word honor here means to esteem or to hold in high regard. Now, this may seem like a strange thing for Paul to say when he's just been talking earlier about humility and not looking out for your own interests. But it really is not so strange, because it is not Epaphroditus who is tooting his own horn, but it is Paul who is giving him recognition. This is a great principle for us to learn. When someone has gone above and beyond in ministry, it's okay. In fact, it's encouraged to give them recognition and thanks. Then it's up to the person receiving the praise to do so graciously and humbly. Sean, this one's for you. Years ago, when I was youth pastor and Sean was in my youth group in Langley, I learned the principle of honoring others for their service. Don't know if you remember this or not, Sean. One day when I was cleaning up around the church, I found a plastic little heart made of those, you know, those beads that you could then iron and they'd all stick together. It was just a little heart. And I got this idea in my head. I attached a little hook thing to it and I put a ribbon, and it became like a medal that people could wear. At the end of each youth event, this became a tradition for a couple of years, this medal was given to the person who had demonstrated a servant heart, showed kindness and love, or unselfishness or encouragement. In other words, someone who put the interests of others ahead of their own. So the recipient got to keep it for the week. They took it home, and then next meeting they brought it back, and they were the ones that got to choose who was the servant the following week. Do you remember that, Sean? Simple little tradition, but it taught these young people how to graciously receive honor, and it became quite a big thing. Sometimes I don't know they were so humble as they all were vying for this plastic heart, but I think it made the point. Well, Epaphroditus, as I said earlier, was an ordinary person like the rest of us, but he made a big impact on the early church and in Paul's life. I would like to suggest this morning, and you're probably already thinking this, we have a lot of ordinary people in our church who are doing extraordinary, amazing things. Do you agree? Yeah. We just finished VBC last week, and last Sunday we recognized their service by naming them and then clapping for them. What about others from the congregation who are serving? For example, who are the young adults that are serving, maybe at camp or other ministries this summer? Call them out. Spencer. Bree. Gracie. Who's cooking? Chloe. I'm thinking about someone else that is cooking out at Barnabas. I think it's Barnabas. Victoria, thank you. Are we missing anybody? Yeah. It's always dangerous when you do this. What about, and here's where we're going to get more personal now. What about, well, let me start this way. If you were honored last week for being part of EBC, please stand and stay standing as we go through this list. If you were part of EBC, and some of you may stand in multiple times, that's okay. What about our 5 and 2 servers? Who are the ones that are, and stay standing, please. I want to see how many are standing at the end of this little exercise. If you serve at 5 and 2 ministries, please stand and stay, everybody stay standing. What about Starfish food bags and deliveries, if you're part of that ministry? Excellent. Sunday school and nursery volunteers, stand if you're part of that. Look around as we're pretty much half standing now. What about our setup teams Sunday morning? I know we've shrunk a little bit, but if you're part of a setup team, and Jeremy, you're already standing back there, so bless you. How about food prep or our hospitality teams? I know not everybody's here this morning, but if you are part of helping serve the food when we have our meals from time to time, please stand. Worship teams and leaders, if you're not already standing, if you're on a worship team or a leader, please stand. We're doing good. How about sound and media? Besides the two at the back that should be standing now. Yeah. Men's and women's ministry leaders, if you're part of that and aren't standing already, see what's going on here? How about our elders or our finance committee? Probably most of those are already standing if they're here. Now, did I miss anybody? Thank you. Barry and Karen, please stand, serving faithfully with getting communion ready. So this is the danger of doing this. That's why we're a team here, so we're all working together. So help me out so I don't get in trouble later. Librarians, thank you. Any of the librarians? I know Ron and Kathy aren't here this morning. Elders. I'd said elders. Yep, thank you. Secretary. Well, okay, if she says if I... I know it's about being humble, right? But receiving praise graciously. Yeah. Yes, Doreen. Life group hosts.
Greeters.
Greeters. Officially or unofficially. Yeah. All right. And if I missed anyone, we've missed anyone, I apologize. But if you look around, I mean...
Jeff, who helped someone.
Yes, Jeff, helping out faithfully. Yeah. And we could be in trouble if we forget someone now. But thank you. Thank you for your serve. You may have a seat. I am just, as I was going through this in my mind, I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of people standing this morning. And if you weren't standing, that doesn't mean you haven't served at some capacity in the past. I want to make sure that you understand that we're all part of the body of Christ. And as Paul recognized Timothy and then Epaphroditus for their service, I think it's appropriate for us to recognize people in our church for what they are doing. So as we close this sermon, I want to give you an opportunity to practically apply Paul's recommendation of Epaphroditus from verse 29. I'm paraphrasing it, as you'll see in the screen, for our church setting. Bless them in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give them the honor that people like them deserve. Here's what I want to invite you to do. I want you to write an encouragement note to someone. Maureen's going to bring a chair out in the middle and put some pens and some little cards that Renita made up for me. I want you to come and grab one of these in a minute, and some music will be playing in the background. As a way of thanking and blessing someone in the church, it could be someone that's already stood, it could be someone that wasn't here this morning, and you can either mail it or give it to them somewhere down the road. But I'd like to invite all of us to participate if you're able. To let them know that you appreciate, you can just write a little note of what you're thankful for, you're praying for them, and so there are cards and pens there in the aisle. So please, if you're able, if you need to help someone get a card and a pen, if they can't grab one, do that for them as well. But come and help yourself now. And we'll take 3 or 4 minutes to write a little notes of encouragement while some music is playing, and then I'll come back and do a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we are honored to be called your children. We are honored to be part of this church. And as we saw a few minutes ago, how many people serve, and some that weren't standing have served. And I certainly know if I would have said, and if you're praying regularly for our church, probably everybody else would have stood. And those are faithful servants too. And so thank you for blessing us with such faithful people who love you, who love your church, and who love the work of the ministry that you've called us to. And so as we have taken a moment to write a card, or maybe we'll yet do that, as we have opportunity to give that out, Lord, we just pray that it would be a blessing and encouragement and a reminder that you use faithful servants, and that to have the mind of Christ means to be willing to lay aside our desires and put the interests of others ahead of ourselves. So may we continue to do that faithfully and joyfully, even as we go into this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of the service, feel free to, if the person is here and you want to hand it to them in person, that would be great. Or if you need to mail it, that's fine too. But thank you for participating. James. If ever we loved him. What a great reminder of what we've just done, what we've read, as we seek the interests of others ahead of ourselves. Jesus once said, they will know we are his disciples by our love. Let's love as Jesus has loved us as we go into this week. God bless you. You're dismissed.